Good evening again, and I'd like to take a few minutes here and look into God's Word about some different things. Before I do it, one thing about having a bad memory, you can't remember too much, and you think you haven't said this before, but maybe you have, I don't know. You got to bear with it. But my dad used to tell this little story about a play on words. It was about Johnny. Well, Johnny wasn't the sharpest pencil in the bunch, you know. He's at school one day, and the teacher says, "Johnny, what's the answer to this?" And he asks her a question. She asks him a question. "What's the answer to that?" And Johnny says, "Well, I don't know. What do you think?" And the teacher says, "Johnny, I don't think I know." Oh, Johnny said, "That's good. I don't think I know either." That's pretty good, isn't it? "I don't think I know either." Well, anyhow. But that fits in kind of nice with what I was going to have tonight, because I thought we'd do just a little word study on the word know. Okay? Things we can know. Now, this came about because Lynn and I were talking the other night. Actually, she spoke to me and she says, "You know, Larry," she says, "it's really great because there's a lot of knows in the Word of God, and it's great to be able to know something for sure, you know." And that was good. And so I got thinking about that, and I thought, well, okay, let's think about this word know, what we can know or what we don't know. And in looking, so I mean about the word itself, it means, to be well informed, be aware of, to have a knowledge, and to be sure about something, okay? You know something, okay? Or you don't know something, one way or the other. But God's Word has a lot of things to tell us that, well, some things He tells us that we don't know. For instance, we didn't know when we were going to be born or anything like that, but God knew. Remember, David said that God knew him when he was just in his mother's womb, when he was conceived even. Linda was saying there's an article in the Reader's Digest where the professionals are now saying that because of all their high technology and everything and their ability to do wonderful things, which they do, that they're coming to realize that the baby is really a human being, you know? And, you know, maybe they shouldn't be killing them. Well, God's Word says that life is precious, and I trust that in this country that we live in, that things will turn around about this abortion thing, because it's a real sin for our country, and all of us will bear perhaps the wrath of God because of it. Trust to be gracious. In Psalms 39, verses 4 and 5. We'll just start in on a few of these things, and this is going to be more of a Bible study, so we invite participation, and maybe there's something that you know in God's Word, know of, that has this idea of knowing, and you'd like to share it with us tonight. That's great. And I'm not concerned about what I've got necessarily. If you've got something, be glad to hear it. But in Psalms 39, verses 4 and 5, the first thing, what I wanted to say is we're going to group them into a little different categories. And the first things are things that we really don't know, or we don't know about, perhaps, or at least not fully. And in Psalms 39, 4 and 5, it says this. It says, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity." Selah. Think about that. Okay? David, he said, "Lord, help me to know my end." And it made me think of another verse in Psalms 90:12. And that's, I know what it is, but I'm get up here and I forget everything. But anyhow, 90 and verse 12, teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know, something we don't know is our end, really. We don't know when we're going to die, or we'll be done on this earth. But God knows. But he's asked us, let's ask the Lord, as David did, help us to know our end, that we might apply these, our hearts, unto wisdom, and that our life and the things that we live and say and do might be honoring to Christ, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Now, does anybody else have a comment on this particular verse, or I can go on to another one? All right. Jeremiah. Here's another thing that we don't really know it, okay? Know about it too much. Jeremiah 17 and verses 9 and 10. 17, 9, and 10. It's about our heart, okay? And the question is, who can know it? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the hearts. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Who can know it? Our heart? Again, God knows it, but I don't think we always really know our heart. Lots of times, another verse is in Matthew 12:34b. It says, "Out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks." Many times when we're come to a situation that we're confronted with, it's sudden, it's whatever. Sometimes it might be an anger that comes up and swells up, and we say and we do things that, wow. I did that, you know? We don't know what's in our heart lots of times. And the Bible says, who can know it? Well, God knows it, and we need to ask God to help us so that those things that are in our heart would be the right things, and that we would develop those right things in our heart so that our mouth would speak out things that would be honoring to him. It's another thing we don't really know too much about sometimes. Another thing is in Acts. Keep you moving here tonight. Acts 1. Acts chapter 1. Verses 7 and 8. Okay. And the thing that we don't know about here is the times and the seasons, okay? And the Lord, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and all Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. The disciples were wondering when things would happen for them. And the Lord said, well, let's not be concerned about that. And he goes on and tells them what they should be concerned about. But we don't know what lies ahead of us. Some things we're given little hints as to what might happen, but to really know what's going to happen, we don't. Other than the fact that the Bible tells us that in the end times, perilous times will come. Okay? And I think that's in Matthew 24:42. There's a reference to that I have. Matthew 24:42. Let's say, it's just another thing. Watch ye therefore, for you know what hour your Lord doth come. Am I in the right one here? The times and the seasons, right, okay. We don't know when the Lord's coming. That's what the disciples were hoping to find out. But we do know that he's coming, and we can look forward to that. We just do not know the time. In another one, now, remember, if you'd like to say something, it's okay. Nobody's thinking tonight, huh? Okay. Romans, look in Romans, chapter 8 and verse 26. Romans 8, 26. We're going to see here that sometimes we don't really even know how to pray. We're here tonight to pray. Acts, we're supposed to be in Romans. Excuse me here a minute. Everybody else has got it than me. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which can't be uttered. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. We don't know how to pray specifically for a thing. Sometimes we don't just can't even pray. I can remember long ago, it hasn't happened to me many times like this. In fact, I remember this time when Linda got sick, when we first married, and Bob and June and Betty, we were down in Louisville, we were all sitting around, we were kneeling, praying for Linda in the hospital, and it came my turn to pray, and I couldn't pray. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what to do. But the Lord answered prayers as he saw fit. And even though I couldn't pray, the Spirit prayed for me. So sometimes we don't know how to pray. But it's good to know that the Lord's on our side. He's for us, and he's praying for us. And so maybe you've had an experience like that too, where you just don't know what to say. Well, the Spirit will make intercession for us. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. Here's a good one. Things that we don't know. Doesn't particularly say you don't know this in here, know what this is, but the word isn't there, but this is the truth, where it says, but as it is written, eye hence has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now there's something we don't know about. We know a little about heaven. We know that it's going to be great. We're going to be with those that have gone on before. But here it's telling us that we haven't got a clue, I don't think, of just what it's going to be like. Because our eyes haven't seen, our ears haven't heard. Hasn't even entered into our heart the things that God's prepared for them that love him. That's something we don't particularly know about.
And verse 14, the natural man cannot see the wellness.
Okay, good. The natural man, that's good. You want to make any further comment on that, or is just that it? Okay. All right, good. Anybody else?
Sorry.
Yes.
I just want to get ahead of your message here, but are you going to get what we do all right?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, good. Hang on to it, Clint. We don't know what God's prepared for us, but in John 14, 1 through 3, he said to his disciples, don't be troubled about things. I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we know that much, that he's gone to prepare us a place in heaven, and that's something that we can know, even though we know what's going to happen there. Totally. All right, 1 Corinthians 2, and here's the 14th verse about the natural man, okay? We don't know. Okay, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Okay, the natural man. People out there, they don't know a lot, let me tell you. At least we as believers, with the Spirit indwelling us, the Spirit tells us things, and we learn things through God's Word. But the natural man, he doesn't have a clue, and he can't even understand some of these things here that are written in God's Word that have so much meaning and value to us as believers. Why? Because we have the mind of Christ. Christ dwells in me and you, if you know Christ as your Savior. And that's a good thing. 1 Corinthians 13:12. Let's just go over there. 13:12. And it says this, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known." Okay. Only knowing in part. Again, we don't know the full things of things. We don't know, understand and know everything that happens in our lives in the day in which we live, okay, in this time that we're here on earth. Good example of this, and we don't understand it all either. I mean, we hear different things, you know. This morning Andy calls, and him and Heather have a friend, have a couple friend, married couple friends, I don't know how you say that, but anyhow, they have a six-month-old baby, or let's say they had a six-month-old baby. Look, this morning the baby died, or last night, after 6 months, and they're not just sure why, you know. And the question comes, well, why, you know? Why 6 months? We don't know these things. We only know in part. But then, when we get to heaven, we'll be able to understand these things because God will reveal them to us. But and so when things come in our life here that we don't understand, we do have that assurance that someday, if we don't ever understand what it's here we have going through this now for, at least someday, God will reveal that to us and we'll understand because He knows what's best for us. Okay, we're going on to the things that we do know. Now, Clint, I know you're busting at the steam, so go ahead. Oh, okay, you want me to say first? Okay. All right, here's... Thank you. Things that we can that are known or can be known. Psalms 46:10. Let's try that one. Psalms 46:10. And here, the Lord says, He says, "Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." We can know God. God wants to reveal Himself to us. And He says to us that, well, everybody doesn't receive me at one time, at one place. The children of Israel someday will. And I will be exalted, He said. And among all the nations. Philippians 2:9-10 says that, and it's a familiar passage where it talks about the Lord, and it says how that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's something that we do know, and God wants men and women to know Him. We need to be still, and we need to know that He's God. God, that He is God. Now, in Job, And this is a familiar one. Maybe you're already figuring that one out. But in Job 19, something Job knew, and I'm not just sure how the Lord spoke to Job, other than just revealing himself to him in some way. I mean, God reveals himself to us through his word, you know. We have this today. But Job said this in 19, 25, and 26. He says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand on the at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy in this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." Job understood that as a believer, one day there would be a resurrection, and he would be with God, and he knew that his Redeemer lived. That's something Job knew, and we know it today, and he's revealed it to us through his word, because we can read about it. It's right in there. So that's a good thing to know, that our Redeemer lives. Now, did you want to say something, Clint? Charlie?
I've got a couple in First John.
Okay, now we're going.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, he shall be like him, and we shall see him as it is. Say hallelujah to that.
Right, exactly. Good verse. Uncle Dave always, he likes you to have these assurance verses, you know. He didn't think the person at camp, I heard him say it, he didn't think the person at camp came up, and she gave John 3:16, you know, and he said he would accept that. Right, Uncle Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I like that verse, see, because that's the verse that led me or brought me to salvation. That whosoever, you know, believes in him shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. That's my assurance verse, Uncle Dave. Okay? Okay. I won't argue that. Okay. But anyhow. No, that's true. That's good. Well, another thing that we can know, the Bible tells us that by their fruits you can know them. That's in Matthew 7 and verse 16a. Another thing that we can know about is the truth. You know, Pilate asked, well, what's truth? When he was in front of the Lord, here he was standing in front of the truth, right? And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I like the verse in Romans, and we can turn to that. Well, you don't have to. It's a familiar verse. Romans 8:28 says, and this is something we can know. It says that all things work together for good to them that love Christ. How's it going? I should know that verse. That's Lynn and I's verse. But, you know, I misquoted, so I don't want to do that. Somebody read it. They got it already. Right, according to his purpose, and his purposes in our life, all things work together for good. And that's a good verse to know about, because that's something we can rest in and have assurance of, that all things are working together for good for those that love God. Okay. Oh. Got that one right here, Uncle Dave. That's right. We can know in whom we believe. We can know about that. We can have that, again, that assurance that our belief, our trust, our everything in Christ is sure and founded. Good one. This Psalms 56:9. I like that one. I don't have it, but I like that. God is for us. Well, it's good to know that. And I know. I'll just here's something that we shall know. Okay, and it's almost time to quit here, so we'll just quit with this last one. In 1 John 3, did you quote that one, Charlie? 3:2-3. Okay. Okay, but I'm going to read it so I don't. 1 John 3:2-3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And what should that do to us? Well, in verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in himself, in him, purifieth himself even as he is pure. We'll just pray.